bowels of One Half Radio Plaza at Life Media Studios.
Hello, folks. Welcome back to Real Country Radio.
Congratulations, Detroit. You can be thoroughly ashamed of yourself. The homicide toll has reached a nice even 750. Details on the latest leveling from Police Sergeant...
Coming up now, we're going to start off the set with...
In the morning.
Fightless Tigers could use this guy's talent.
Have you had time to get ready?
I don't waste any time getting ready. I stay ready.
Good evening.
Good words to live by.
To Sidetrack. Tonight we are joined by the leadership of the Indiana Pulling League and their season finals, the Liquid Tube Shootout. How are you gentlemen tonight?
Great.
You're good.
Good deal. Brought back something to a place that hadn't experienced something like that in quite a while with the end of season there at the Fulton County Fairgrounds in Rochester, Indiana this past Saturday. It was a very full day, two sessions of pulling. A great program. I thought decently well attended for really having kind of a black hole experience, despite the level of pulling knowledge and competitors in barns not far from there. On a consistent basis. But when you guys approached us about getting involved with this back in January, we were early adopters to the idea based on the concept that was presented. And by the time it was all said and done, the execution that we saw, Ryan and I were sufficiently impressed Saturday night that we said, you guys need to come on and take a victory lap and take a bow.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, we kind of approached you about it in January at in the war room, and we discussed it, and Robert had an idea, and we just came along for the ride. It's on him.
Robert, you did do a heck of a job bringing all that together.
Thank you. It was kind of thrown together.
It was so
frustrated. We talked last well, Kevin Smith and I have talked for years that we wanted to bring something. I mean, we both live 4 miles from place, and we wanted to figure out how to bring pulling back to life at our hometown, and so we've been talking about that for a while. And then last winter, Richard said something about, hey, this date's available, so let's just go ahead and have that as the Hometown Diesel Nationals. And I said, all right. And he goes, this is what I think we should do. And I just kind of rolled with it. And then spring came and went, and summer came, and I'm like, you know, this is happening. We should probably hammer out some details. And so, man, I can't tell you the amount of gratefulness I have for the crew that I had to help me throw that together. Not just, you know, all the behind the scenes of working out, getting the tractors there and stuff. I mean, that's pretty easy with our loyal guys. But when it came to track crew and just I was overwhelmed with people that said, hey, we heard you're doing this and I want to help. And to be honest, Saturday, I'm not even really sure that I did anything. It just kind of all made itself happen. And that was a pretty good feeling. Just having everybody knew their place, knew what needed done. My phone rings more on a normal basis than it did on Saturday. It all kind of happened while I was trying to park people in the pits. I mean, it worked out good, and I was pretty happy with how it turned out.
Why does it always seem at one of these deals, because I run into this with a couple of deals that I do here, that parking people in the pits winds up being like the thing that you wind up doing the most?
Because there was nobody else to do it.
It's the least glamorous job, and because most of it you don't get to see the pull when you're doing it, that's a problem.
I didn't even know the sled broke until it was back running again. So
as sled breakages go, that was one of the most minor, easiest.
Very minor.
Yeah.
Yeah, if it's going to go wrong, you want it to go wrong like that. And you know, good credit to Chase that he felt it like right away. He knew it was a miss, and he was out and had the door open before Alan and I even realized there was an issue.
Chase is a good operator. He's everywhere we go with him throughout the summer, that guy is always on top of everything.
From a puller's aspect, we like pulling him too. He lets us go fast and gets us load up, and Chase has just become a phenomenal operator.
He did let you guys go fast.
Oh, boy.
Especially later on in the evening.
Yeah. Yeah, we got to the shootout, and we started seeing some 35s and 37s go on the board.
Yeah, Chase likes to go fast, and I as a puller, I like to go fast too, and he lets us go.
You think Jason Suter has fully recovered? Is his leg still shaking?
No, he's still on life alert yet.
Man, that was a monster of a pass.
I'm trying to think. Did we reset even one? Was there one reset or none? No.
Zero.
I don't think so.
None.
We sent them all.
We asked him at the end of the night, you know, just how the whole pull went and if he was disappointed, and all he did was smile. So it must have been okay.
Take that.
Yeah.
We knew. Yeah. Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I was going to say that's when the sled op doesn't have anything to say and it just gives you a smile. Yeah, I think you did okay.
Yeah.
We knew back last fall what was going, or back last winter, I should say, in January, knew it was going to be the season finals, and we knew that the idea of this shootout was going to be a part of the program, where top three in points on the property were going to come back for a one run and done dash for cash and bragging rights down the track. Did you know at that time, and I don't remember this back then, that you had it funded? Did that come later, or did you have that already kind of sewn up where you knew, okay, we can do this?
We had Liquid Tube on board already.
I kind of thought so. We
could put it in place. They came on board right about that same time that we talked to you guys in January, and we didn't have it completely finalized yet, but it was pretty much done at that point in time.
Okay.
And we had them as for that, and then we also had them on board to help with our ITPA Indiana Truck Pullers 3-0 Challenge. They helped support that also. And those were the two big events that Liquid Tube helped fund for the year for us.
Gotcha. No, it's cool to know that was, it's got to be a comforting feeling, I think, to know that, hey, I can do this. And
Well played, Wilson. Well played.
Yeah, it's still going, and Tanner's still trying to figure out how to catch him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
For those of you who don't know what that's about, the last shootout of the night was the Light Limited Pro Trio, and Red Exception went exceptionally far, and then Tanner Eads tried to ping-pong his way after him and got close.
Yeah, he damn near caught him. It was less than a foot and a half, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Well, see, what Alan and I discussed in the tower after that run was, by the time you added up his vertical, he won.
Yeah, because he went like 517 feet. But Robert, what's been the community feedback? That was the goal. We should take a step back here. The goal, as I understand it, and what you and I talked about in between sessions, was that Rochester was in need of that entertainment. And they hadn't seen a good show in a while, and I don't remember how long that was, for one reason or another, and we're not here to throw anybody under the bus, unless you want to. But the goal was bring that entertainment back to the town of Rochester. So two questions. One, does the community think you did it? And two, do you think you did it? What's been the feedback?
I would say yes and yes. I mean, up until the day of the show, I had really no idea how it was going to go. We could have had 10 people there, and I
would have just been not surprised. I mean, whatever, it is what it is. But so far, I think I haven't had any complaints. I've had a lot of hype from people just excited that we can do it. So far, within the day of the poll and 2 days after the poll, I've had at least six or seven people that run businesses that I know that said, man, if we knew that an event like that could happen, we would have pitched in sponsor dollars. So just go ahead and count us in for next year.
Attaboy.
I would say that overall it was a success. I think we got some attention that something really can happen if the amount of pre-work is done to put it in place. Because it's not easy. I mean, it takes a lot of work. And Ryan, you and I discussed that, you know.
Yep.
We don't want to lead on to everybody that it's easy to do. All the things that happen behind the scenes is what makes an event successful. And it was a lot of work. But the day of the show, I felt like all that work paid off in just how easy of a day I had on the day of the show. And all the people that I had talked to previously just came together and made things happen. So I think overall, as far as the community goes, I mean, it was a very successful event. I've already bounced off numerous ideas this week so far and how we can add to the show, make it better for next year. I think we are 100% on board for taking a second stab at it and see what we can do. So.
Good.
I'd like to see that for you. I mean, I've been past Rochester, I don't know how many times, going up and down 31 on my way, always on my way to somewhere else. And if I ever stopped, it was just to the gas station. But to see the fairgrounds, it's a beautiful facility. It's one of those no bad seat in the house places, and I genuinely mean that. You can say that about it. And I can say it, you know, it's a nice small town that has a vibrancy to it. There's life there. There's so many small Midwestern towns where you walk through and you go, man, I wonder what this place looked like 40 years ago. You don't wonder that about Rochester. You go through downtown, you go, there's something happening here right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Charleston's got a big lake there too, or a decent sized lake that a lot of people through the summer are attached to and go to. So the community really supports that town.
Yeah, it shows. Ryan and I were cruising through town on Friday evening, and at one point we could hear the PA of the football game, and then we get downtown, and on every pole of the speaker, broadcasting it.
That was the coolest thing. We like legit stopped and listened.
With the awesome. Top man in the Mercedes, right?
Is there any other way?
Nope, because his head won't fit if he doesn't.
Yep, there's some truth.
Yeah, so maybe there was two spectacles downtown in Rochester for that night then.
Yes, there were. That's okay. No shame.
No, it's a cool town. I loved it. I'd be happy to go back. What would you say is there anything you were surprised by now versus a year ago when this was just a thought balloon above your head that came to pass?
I think I was surprised by the amount of people we could roll in. Just knowing that we just haven't had a good crowd there in a lot of years. And really, I think I owe a lot of that to some help that I had, my buddy Matt Kripe, as far as helping me get the word out that we were going to have a poll. And the vendors that I deal with, just, you know, reaching out, helping advertise as far as flyers and just word of mouth. I mean, that was my biggest surprise was, you know, when I started seeing the people roll in, it's like, hey, we might actually have something here that I really had no expectations of to begin with. So that was a pretty good feeling.
Do you feel like there was a bang for the buck from word of mouth, flyers? Did you do any radio advertising locally?
We did not do any radio advertising. It was mainly word of mouth and flyers, a little bit on Facebook. We got some people in. Not to single anybody out, but, you know, Shy Diesel, talking to them, they helped spread the word of mouth. And then Motorhead Matt Kripe, he helped me out a lot with advertising and that on Facebook. And then we had flyers made and just passing them out. I mean, it went through all my parts suppliers, and
You know, the guys that I spend money with were willing to help me gain some of it back by just passing out flyers for me through the parts salesman. And that helped out a lot. I think a lot of our people came from more than just Rochester to come see the show. So
good.
What changes do you think that you would make in hindsight or retrospect? Anything that comes to mind that you would change, big or small?
There's a lot of changes I want to do for next year. As far as what I would have changed for this year, I really don't know. I don't know that I've had any negative comments to where I've had to think through the things that I should have done differently. Our biggest downfall right now is pit parking. And I've already got a plan in the works for that.
That was an excellent problem to have when I saw semis come in and get turned up the hill because there was literally nowhere else to go.
Yep.
That and maybe add an extra food vendor so that Ryan doesn't have to wait 15 minutes to get a Coke. But
the taco truck was doing a hell of a business. Let's just say that.
They were all overly happy. They never saw it coming, I think. So
were they have you had that taco? Were the tacos any good? I didn't get that. I didn't have any.
So they were at our local county fair this year. They were really good. We had a couple meals there. They were good. And so my brother is the president of the fair board. And of course, I put my brother in charge of details like that. I said, you take care of food. And he just handled it. So he had them come back and they were really happy. But they're good people. They had a good turnout. So they sold out of food twice and decided to pack up and go home. So
I could tell 45 minutes before the second session that the taco truck must have something going for it because the line was longer.
Yep.
I opted instead
the barbecue joint. Truck,
and I can tell you the pulled pork mac and cheese was on point. Perfect.
Yeah. Brisket mac and cheese was very, very good also.
Yep.
Nice. The guys on that are from Winnemac, so not 15 miles away. And they just started that food truck this year. They said that that event was the best event they've had so far. So they were overly pleased.
Good. Good.
So far, we've got nothing but smiles and good comments. So I think the real challenge is to see if we can do it twice.
You can do it twice.
Yeah.
Yep.
You've already seen 100%. What it looks like once.
So I told him earlier, Dan, I said, you know, you got your first year out of the way. It's cruise control now, bud. You know where everything's at. You know what you're doing.
Just biggest factor now is the weather.
Yeah, it's always the dice roll when you get into, you know, Midwest polling in September. You just never know. That brings up a fair point because it does come up at some of these events. You know, you're potentially on the hook for thousands of dollars. Is did you buy rain insurance for this, or was that a thought in your mind?
No, it wasn't. I'm not an insurance kind of guy. I'm more of a wing it kind of guy. So we just rolled with it.
That's fair. It didn't look like you winged it, but you know, by the time we were there, boots on the ground, it didn't show.
Mm-mm. I hadn't been to the fairgrounds in 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
I hadn't been to that fairgrounds in 8 years for reasons we're not going to talk about. But when I pulled in there on Wednesday night to help these guys, I got out of the truck and looked at Robert's guys were there before he got there. And I was like, this place is 100% different than I remember it. Him and his guys, they made that fairgrounds look like never before. I mean, they done a phenomenal job.
I heard that from multiple people now. So what did you do? What did you do, Robert?
A lot of sweat equity.
Mowed the grass.
Weed eated. Went to my buddy Spud and got some, I don't even know what concoction of Roundup, he said. He's like, just put legal. This in you your sprayer and spray it and don't tell anybody. And I don't know. And it wasn't all me. There was so much help I had, but I think the biggest thing was I will do whatever I have to do, and I'm not going to wait around for somebody to do it for me. But I didn't even have to
just the people that came around and offered their help. Mowing the grass, I mean, leveling out dirt. My buddy Billy brought in some loads of clay that I said, hey, Bill, when you drop those loads of clay, put them at like 450 foot. Don't dump them on the track. So naturally, they dumped every single load right on the pulling track. So perfect. But it worked out great. I mean, we got it worked in a week ahead of showtime. And there was a lot of question as to whether it was going to work or not. And I just had the right people by my side to make it work. I mean, I can't take that much credit for what was done.
It worked.
It was all just good people I got in my back pocket to help me make things come together. So,
what was the feedback? Because I certainly wasn't. I was in my penalty box. I wasn't privy to it. What's the feedback been on what the semis looked like?
So it was pretty good. We had a big mix of semis that night. We are in the works of talking to some guys to potentially make something different happen in that area. But so that goes back to my buddy Matt. I mean, he was the big push behind that. Matt and Dan Hart, they both got semis that they're wanting to do something with. And they it was actually about 3 to 4 weeks before showtime. Matt calls me and he goes, hey, I heard you're having a pull. I said, yeah. He goes, why aren't you having any semis? And I said, I don't need one more thing to deal with right now. He goes, all right, handle it. And it just got handled, you know. Matt and Dan and his guys all just kind of made it happen. So that was something that there's a lot of tweaking we need to do in that area, but it's something that we're going forward. We're going to get more official and make some progress there. Yeah. But I think the feedback was pretty good. I mean, you guys know everybody likes to see semis roll down the tracks.
Yep.
I've known Matt for probably 6 or 7 years from him participating up in Northern Michigan. It was a couple of years before I even realized he was from down there. I didn't know that initially.
Yeah. So he's had that truck for a few years now. And then Dan is not that far from us, and he just got his done about 2 days before it was time to go to Onaway. So that way he could fold his drive shaft up in a pretzel. But
as one does.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
But it's growing. I mean, it just things like that start in one central location and they grow further in distance. So, you know, semis have always been a thing, but the super semis seems like they're very territorial now in bigger places. And it'd just be nice to bring some caliber of semis back to other areas. So that's what we're trying to do.
Grow it organically the way it did the first time.
Yeah. We had a pretty broad spectrum. I mean, we needed to get dialed in on one focus area for the semis, but it'll come. I think there's a lot of guys excited about that class. And so I don't think that we're going to have any struggle with when it comes to participation.
And whoever built those hitches that you guys were using, those are the heaviest ones I've ever seen.
So those hitches, I think the welds were still hot when they were putting them in. So Billy picked those up. Billy showed up and we were talking about stuff. And Matt goes, I think that Billy needs to go pick our hitches up. And I'm like, yeah, we're about, you know, 2 hours from showtime. That'd probably be a good idea. So they rolled in with those extra hitches and we just made them work. So
they worked, and I will be extremely impressed if somebody manages to break one of those.
Yeah. I don't even know the weld shop they came from, but those were giant. They worked good under pressure because they had a lot of pressure. I don't even think they got them the test hitch until about 6 days before showtime. So,
wow.
And they built four of them?
And they built four of them. But that's where guys like Matt come into play because he's pretty good at applying the pressure.
He must have been. I mean, a lot of the ones that get supplied up in this area, two big dudes could pick it up off one truck and place it on another as long as they don't have to walk far. These ones, you're not picking them up without a machine.
No, we weren't picking those up.
And we had, so PBS Truck Parts donated the kingpins for those. And I think that was another scenario where we called them and we said, hey, we need four kingpins. And they said, oh, okay, we'll get them for you. We're like, no, we're going to be there in like a half hour to pick them up. So have them laid out for us.
Nice. So is this the IPL's way of saying that maybe we might have a class, like full-blown rules and a few events? I'm not putting anybody on spot. I know this is just exploratory, but
well, there is going to be a meeting to discuss that, yes.
Okay, cool.
And it's been discussed already that we're looking at maybe a half dozen events for them that does not conflict with Onaway and that type of stuff.
Kunal's in Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And if you guys are at the banquet, you'll get to know the details firsthand.
Cool.
Rumor has it, I guess I got voluntold, so.
Oh, you got forced.
What else was you going to do that evening?
Well, who knows? I've gotten into some hijinks at Indy on PRI Saturday night before, but it's probably better I go hang out with you guys instead.
Safer in Monticello, Indiana.
Yeah, I imagine.
If you're a gambler, man, we'll bet you $100 that you'll do it next year, too.
I was thinking there'd be plenty of hijinks and shenanigans in Monticello, Indiana that Saturday night anyway. So,
it's a wild card.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's safer there because there's fewer people and cameras around, right?
Yes.
Plus, look, we have an enforcer
one of the instigators right there.
Yes, well, exactly. Yeah. You've got to watch him with both eyes all the time.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Between the capes and the clown shoes, who knows what could happen?
So broader. We've talked about the season finals as far as the event goes. What was IPL's season like? I know, particularly in June, Mother Nature's kicking your ass a little bit. But other than that, mm-hmm. How did the year go?
First part of July, it really was.
Yeah. The beginning of the year, we struggled with some numbers like everybody did.
Yeah.
Farming ran late. Parts were still not available. And then we hit July when Ryan came out to see us and got to watch rain out after rain out after rain out.
Mm-hmm.
And then he had an unfortunate incident with his camera.
Right.
We drank some good bourbon, though, didn't we, Ruse?
Still got a little bit of it left.
Good. Got some good pieces of gravy.
But say it again.
It seemed like after that, we kind of hit a stride. We got tractors back out on the track. And the season started rolling really well and numbers came up, shows went well. And it rolled into August and then we got Labor Day weekend over with, and there we was waiting to see what we was going to do in Rochester. And we had from my standpoint, I felt like I was kind of like Robert. I just kind of walked around and watched my people do their jobs and filled in wherever I needed to fill in to do a little things here and there and just kind of manage it and watch it and watch what was going on.
I think that's a testament to you and all the staff too, and the competitors as well. When an organization is really well run, it runs itself. You don't have to necessarily go bird dog people to get to the line or address a situation. Things just, as you said, you've heard repeated in this show tonight, things just get handled.
Yeah. It's fun to watch. I've been to polls in upstate New York, go to California at least once a year. And the thing I notice across the board is
the pools that run smoothly just have an overabundance of people. And it's not that anybody knows anything different than anybody else. It's just having good operators and the right people at hand to do the jobs that need done and notice when something needs done. I mean, that's really what makes it happen. So, and as far as the IPL standpoint, I mean, I've been helping IPL for 9 seasons at least. And we were blessed this season with extra help, and just everything just flows into place because everybody has a smaller job. And when you have one thing to focus on, everything just goes smoothly.
Yep.
How did you go about attracting that help?
Word of mouth.
Word of mouth. A couple of them, well, one of them was our starting line guy, Eric Foreman. He actually does the pull at Flora for us. And his father-in-law has a hop farm that they've been working on again for an extended period of time. And he come to the pulls and we're like, hey, you want a job? And he's like, what do you want me to do? And we've had him in a couple of different positions, and he's one of them. He shows up, does what he's asked to do, doesn't create problems. His neighbor started riding along with him, Jeff Leslie, and hey, you want a job? What do you want me to do? And it's kind of rolled from there. Our scale guy this year, Bill Plummer, he asked some of our people about coming and helping, and do we need more help? And it's just been kind of that way. We've picked up people from that way, and it's worked.
I think, again, it goes back to the idea of fostering that reputation. And it's not something you can't buy it, and you can't get it overnight. As you know, as you said, 7-8 years it's taken. And it's incredible. I'm sitting there trying to say nice things, and here comes
perfect,
Joe.
Perfect.
That's
good timing, buddy.
Like, Joe has got it cut out for that. He is the guy in charge of the entry process.
He's got an apple.
He's our HR, human resources, complaint department. All the complaint departments go straight to Joe, handled in 2 words.
I won't say them, but I know what they are.
Uh-huh. Don't even have to pay the guy. He just volunteers his time.
You know, something else I think is said for our group is, for the most part, our promoters are phenomenal to work with. You know, we have 95% of our promoters are phenomenal to work with.
And the other 5% we'll list later.
Yeah.
Do you often find with the promoters you got that sort of relationship built with, is it something where, you know, they're ready to, and they may not be able to know this necessarily until an annual fair convention takes place, but you basically get the, you know, plan on it next year kind of a situation?
Yeah, for the most part, year to year, it goes pretty seamlessly with all of our promoters. It just does. I mean, everybody knows what they want. I mean, for the most part, the classes kind of stay the same from year to year with most of these places. You know, Light Limiter Pro Stock, Hot Farm are the two hottest classes we have. King of the Hill is growing by leaps and bounds in that it's an affordable class that brings, and I did add it up, they average 14.3 pullers per event for the whole year over 12 events.
Nice.
Biggest class we had for the year in average. Yes, everybody says, oh, it's 15 mile an hour. Build one, jump into class, and get your ass kicked by our guys.
Yep.
It's a driver's class, and, you know, the the amazing difference to me is the difference in 10 mile an hour and 15 mile an hour watching them go down the track. You know, on the road, 5 mile an hour is nothing.
Yeah. But
it, that class has just took off, and they put on a good show, and any of them can win on any given night. Yeah. That's the cool thing about it.
Yeah. I've done a little 10 mile an hour around here, and I can't speed up my brain enough for 15. And there's guys that are tiptoeing 14.9 and smashing it at exactly the right time when the pan's dropping. That takes a lot of laps and a lot of really knowing your machine.
Mm-hmm. Or just getting lucky.
I mean, that happens too. Let's be honest. It does. You know,
our board's might not work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They might skip every now and then.
Right, Joe?
Or there might be a guy standing in front of it. Who knows?
Oh, that's a world famous, isn't it?
Yeah.
Make a better door than you do a window there, Bob.
Yep.
Well, we have a designated person for standing in front of the boards. His name's Tony Roush. He likes to do it.
Nice. Well, at least he knows, you know, you got to be famous for something.
Yeah.
Some of us photographers have a group chat going that has been going for about a year now. And there's a, if we ever wanted to, you know, crowdsource a calendar and just call it, I'll make you famous. We've got enough.
We got the next 3 years covered of.
Pretty much. Yeah. People. We are currently taking submissions for the 2027 calendar.
Yeah. 2028. You have to do a weekly calendar, probably.
Oh yeah. Probably.
And we might even have a title for it. Ass parentheses hole of the week. A lot of photos of people backside standing right in our freaking way.
Yep. Yep. And I actually confronted one of them. This actually at the show in Rochester. Who's the guys who have the hot farm, just bare sheet metal, been whooping up on everybody?
Oh, Todd Cameron.
I think.
Yeah.
Does he come with a guy who's built kind of like me?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. I had fun with those guys because last year at Wagler's deal, one of them, and I think it was the bigger guy who built like me. He's right out in the. It was when the other sled was trying to be repaired, and so nothing going on that track. Well, he gets out there with his phone to get, you know, the Snapchat, because everybody's got to have the Snapchat of the run, and stands right in front of me, and I took a picture of him. And I posted it. You can find it in the album. And I had no idea who those guys were, but it seemed like I was okay to, you know, go back and forth with them a little bit. And I told that guy that he was the cover model for the I'll Make You Famous for the I'll Make You Famous calendar. And he's like, well, why didn't you say something? I'm like, dude, in the heat of the moment, you would have turned around and clocked me. Because I mean, I know how this goes.
And what I was going to say would not have been polite. 400 feet of one, you're going to stand right here?
Yep. Yep. So
actually, he would have walked out of your way because Brian is just that guy. Now, he is a big teddy bear.
Yeah. We had a great laugh over it. It was, he's like, yeah, you can put me on the calendar.
Now, I want him on my side if we go to war.
100%. Yeah. Yeah. But no, and he wasn't the worst offender. The worst offender were the other class that was running on the far side. Well, on the side that I was standing on, and the side where the sled broke. I imagine I'm going to get hate mail, but I think it was Southern Indiana Farm Stock. There were a couple of folks who zero self-awareness, and I get it. I'm not the, you know, I mean, your family, your friends, your whatever, your pit crew,
But you're still hard to miss.
And yeah, and I had one of them look right at me, and I have the picture to prove it.
There's and a fence post hanging there, and he couldn't see it past the fence post.
Or it was a she, and there was nothing in the way. but that's okay.
Slow the frame down. It'll motion blur right out of there.
Yep, exactly. Yeah, I just have to slow it down to like a 6-second exposure. But, you know, it happens. I get it. But if you see us and we are in your way or come on, let us do our jobs. That's all I got to say. But
I can even share space with a lot of people. I mean, Ryan and I are tall enough that like you can be like right in front of me. I'll shoot over you. It's fine.
Right.
Yeah.
Now at Jeremy's track, you're on that side. You're shooting at you're down, which is something I really, really like. I love that. That makes it's like RJ's track is perfect for that. Because you stand down probably 2 feet. And so you're looking up and it makes every vehicle look larger than life. And that makes for a great photo. But anyway, that's the end of my rant. However, we're not done with rants yet.
Well, however,
Richard.
Other guy there who is new to the photography deal.
Yes, let's. And yeah, a little
bit of us who caught a very candid photo of our awkward selfie.
Yeah, you're right. You're right, Tiff.
She needs miracle grow.
Platform heels, or you know. Adam, get her a set of those big thick sole Doc Martens are coming back. Get her some of those.
Adam being ruthless.
But yeah, Bill's come on board with us for 4 events now this year and has blown us away with stuff. Like I said,
yes, he has.
He caught a candid photo of you and Lillian Moore
taking
a selfie.
And I will legitimately cherish that photo. That was awesome.
And of the 3 photos that he's already posted from it, 1 is of you doing your job, 1 is me walking down the track. So, you know, he caught both of us in our doing what we do.
Doing the things, yeah.
And everything. So I mean he's come around and he's taken some really good photos and done some really good things, you know.
Yep.
You know, again, on this side of things, we had 2 phenomenal announcers. We had 2 phenomenal photographers.
1.5 on the announcers.
No, we actually had 1 more. Because Adam got a really good shot of Zach and me.
Yeah. And we had 2 phenomenal videographers there also. We can't forget Jeff Shanks.
Yep.
And then Bill DeSamati also.
Yeah.
Jeff was watching earlier. I presume he still is.
I think he still is.
I think a lot of credit needs to go out to those 2, to Adam Wilson and Tiff, but also to Jeff Shanks. As far as our events goes, you can pretty well guarantee both of those setups will be there, making sure they get good coverage of our events. And I don't think that they get enough appreciation for what they do. They're both excellent people and do a great job.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I totally agree.
All right. Can we stop being nice? Can we start having a rant now?
Do we want a rant now?
You got an axe to grind.
Let's grind it a little bit. You know, here a month or so ago, we had a video of a farm stock pole with a 1066 doing a great big giant willy, and it went out and became a viral thing. I set the next day on my phone on Facebook, and every other thing was a video of that video going down the track. And half or more of the people who shared that video was bitching that video was on Facebook. Guys, You shared it. Why?
And I'm one of those. I'll take that one head on because I'm one of those who did exactly what you're talking about. I did do that.
Yeah.
One thing that I would say, and my point about it was, it's one thing to show it and bitch about it, but what else? What other context are you giving to it?
Right.
Are you trying to teach a lesson here behind it? But you are right. You are right.
Yeah. At the end of the day, it's still feeding the machine.
Yep.
Right. My thing is, and I've talked to both of you about this, our insurance in the past has been around $4,000 a year or a little under for all of our events. And we've been with this company for better than 10 years. And my insurance lady messaged me and said, "Oh, you're not going to like this." And I'm like, "What?" Ours went from around $4,000 to $32,000 for the same coverage.
Cool.
Because the owner of that company was watching his son on YouTube, and his son was watching Wild Rides and Rex videos from tractor pulling. And he equated that to everything we do every night of the year. And instead of just telling us no, he just made it so that it was ridiculous for us to get insurance. So sharing and spreading this stuff, yes, it gets lots of views. Yes, it gets lots of likes. But it's also hurting the whole system.
Yeah. I have the feeling that you guys are not going to be the only ones. There's going to be a lot of stuff.
We was able to get insurance cheaper than that, but it was still more than twice what we would normally have to pay.
You know, you take that and you pull it into the street diesel truck world now too. You know, these guys go out and they hook these sleds, these pickups that are 900, 1,000, 1,100 horse, whatever they may be that were meant with a drivetrain meant to be 450 out of the box, hook them to a sled that lets them run 25 mile an hour and then just smacks them all of a sudden. And a drive shaft comes apart and U-joint comes out, hits somebody in the crowd. And they think it's hilarious because, oh, I took my diesel pickup and I went down the track. Whoop-de-doo. You know, it's the same thing. And the mentality of these guys that just like, well, it's not going to happen to me.
Right.
Well, yeah. I'm here to tell you, you're going to ruin it for the rest of us that do it the right way. If you're not careful.
Yeah.
Everybody, you know, Richard takes, I don't know how many messages a year. I take messages from Greentown. I don't know if Robert got any or not, but why don't you have a street diesel class? Why don't you have a street diesel class? Well, because I don't want the liability of the crap.
Yeah.
And I don't want to deal with I'm just going to say arrogant pricks that come along with that group.
Yep.
And it's because it's got to ruin it for the rest
of us. I agree with you. As an org up here, as an organization up here for street diesel events that we run, it's been 5 or 6 years now, pre-COVID anyway. If you're mechanical, you have to have an air knife. If you're electronic, you've got to have a kill switch for your diesel truck. And I could see starting next year where the blow shields are going to have to be on there too.
You know, I seen a video on I don't know, TikTok, Facebook, whatever. I'm not going to mention names, where there was an organization that had a street diesel class, but they were letting them spray them. Yep. I mean, come on, guys. It's got to stop. It has to stop because you're going to kill somebody one day, and then we're all done.
Yep.
Yeah. Looking at them right now online, you could pretty much completely outfit your Ram or GM with blow shields from Dirty Hooker Diesel, front and rear, for under $1,000, and it's all bolt-on stuff, no fabricating needed by you.
There you go. It's that simple.
Yeah.
You know, it's just.
But I don't want to have to spend that much money on my street truck.
But also, as you've got the underglow and the billet wheels and all the other bullshit that you spent 5, 10, 12, 15 grand on.
Yes.
Oh, and how did you make that 800 horsepower? Let me tell you how you did it. If it's doing it reliably, if you're a Duramax guy, your short block costs you 13. So don't give me, I don't have $1,000 for it with your blowing money sticker in the back window, dipshit.
Yeah. You got a set of wheels and tires on the truck. They're worth 5 times more than the truck itself's worth. That you got a tire that's an inch in diameter wider than the wheel, and you wonder why you hit a pothole on the street and it bends them all to hell. But you want to hook it to a sled, and you can't spend $1,000 protecting yourself and the crowd and the sport we all love.
Yep. Agreed.
It drives me nuts.
Yeah, it's dumb.
Yeah. Yes, we have a farm stock class. It's 10 mile an hour.
And they all have wheelie bars.
But we have wheelie bars. We have air shutoffs. We have fuel dumps. We have rules for the safety equipment. And that's something that, you know, we're going to work with on the semi guys is those basic things to try and get some safety equipment because, again, we're all one big event, big deal away from possibly being shut down.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. My local fair has just a handful of classes left that do not require wheelie bars, and we call them farm stock, but they're not the farm stock you know. Farm stock here. Top, the winner goes on the dyno, and you're only allowed 10% over whatever factory rated for that machine was. And if you're over, we throw you out until we find somebody who's legal. I think for 2025, probably the lighter classes anyway, are going to get a requirement to have wheelie bars. Because it doesn't take much to tip over an M or an Oliver 88 or whatever. And you can buy bolt-on kits for the wheelie bars for them too. No fabricating required, and it's only a few $100. It's just the world we're in.
The Sunday of Labor Day weekend, a family around Idyville put on their third annual fundraising deal for the Idyville Fire Department. Up to 8,000 pounds and below, and they start at 3,000 pounds and go up in 500-pound increments to 12,000 pounds, and then they have a couple heavy classes. But at 8,000 pounds is when you get to go 7 mile an hour. Everything else is 4 mile an hour and below. Ray Lowry was there with their mini sled to pull the light stuff. Chase was there with the big sled to pull the heavier stuff. And then finish up at the end, there was 325 hooks down two tracks that started at 11:15 and ended at 9:15 at night.
If you ask Chase, that's why his nut come off his bolt on Saturday at Rochester.
So, I mean, you know, there are still stuff like that. You know, no top cut tires. They don't have a dyno to do like that, but they kept everything under control with that type of stuff. I mean, but they still didn't want any of our 10-mile-an-hour guys showing up because our 10-mile-an-hour guys are still more than what they want as a farm stock type stuff for their heavy classes.
Actually, you just reminded me of something that the Labor Day weekend that I witnessed at the event that I was at. We had, again, it was an antique class, essentially, whatever it was, 5,500, 6,000 pounds. Had an M come out there, had wheelie bars on it. But he had the telescopic ones so he can get on and off his trailer. I understand why they make them. He forgot to extend them, and nobody caught it until his nose was about 5 feet in the air. Now, thankfully, he didn't panic, and he's coming down the track. I'm sitting with one of our tech reps for the association, and I said, we dodged one there. What's going to happen when he gets down here? Well, thankfully, there wasn't enough traction left in the track for it to matter, but it was just one of them things.
Yeah.
Another thing that has to be watched for.
Yep.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's all this world, like you said, it's the world we live in today. You know, safety, it should be number one priority.
It has to be.
Yep. To
be. You're playing with these things that are, you know, 2,000, 2,000, 3,000 horse, 4,000, 5,000 horse. When you get into the big stuff, there's absolutely no reason safety's not number one priority.
It absolutely has to be. I mean, I don't do a whole ton of driving when I get the chance to, though. I love to be in a position to be able to say yes if it's a machine that I think is safe. I had bought a two-piece fire suit out of expediency. I sold it. I didn't feel comfortable in it. I want a one-piece. I mean, you have to look out. At the end of the day, you got to look out for your own ass because that's the only person who's really going to do it for you.
Right. Yeah. Zach and I have been up close and personal with a couple of incidents that were kind of major. Yes.
And, I was there for one of them too.
Charles and I shared that one.
I was at the starting line for that one, thankfully, but earlier in that week, I got to be the first guy on the spot for an incident that week also. And
oh, that's right. I forgot that was the week. That was that weekend.
That was the same weekend.
And
thankfully, he's fine and back doing it again, even though he's struggling a little bit right now. But, you know,
he's data gathering. I think he'll come around.
If anybody will figure it out, Mike will figure it out for sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Lord knows he isn't going to quit at this point.
No.
No.
He's been through enough where I would have walked away from it.
Uh-huh. I'd have bought a boat.
Or two.
That's
all in my mind Saturday night.
Yeah, I think you vocalized that to me with maybe a few colorful expletives.
I think Mayhill and I were talking today. I think both of us at the same time said, man, pulling is dumb.
Hashtag pulling is dumb.
Yep. Yep. Never fails when I hear somebody say that. I think of Jeff Hurt's shirt that he wears sometimes under his fire suit. Race tractors are dumb.
Yeah. Nothing is better than Jeff Hurt.
Yeah. But the takeaway on this rant, and the axe to grind for all of you who are watching, and yes, there are 46 of you, and most of you probably know this. Don't feed the demon. You comment on it, you hit the like button, even if you mouse over to the angry button or you share it, it all feeds the algorithm. I do this stuff for a living. It all feeds the algorithm, and it's pouring thimblefuls of gas onto a fire, and it just keeps on burning and burning and burning. And at the end of the day, it does two things. It makes it harder for us to get insurance, and it makes the people who posted it, they, you know, end up making money off of you. If you're okay with that part, so be it. But don't make it harder for everybody else to get insurance. And this is not us, you know, having that you screwed up moment, because we understand, we've done it too. Yeah. But, you know, it's that mindset that we got to get into, that this isn't healthy. It's toxic for the sport. Even if nothing happened, even if it was a cool as hell video, that video of that 1066, that dude, I mean, that dude could wheel that tractor. And clearly, either his front end builder or him.
Off the buckboard, it don't matter whether he can wheel it or not.
Yeah.
Huh?
When his head bangs off the buckboard of the sled, it doesn't matter whether he can wheel it or not.
Exactly. It was a cool video, but the next one, it ain't going to go that well.
Right. Right. I'd rather watch the video of the kid in the white that drug it out the end and had the great post-pull interview that blew up a couple years ago. The girls.
Parked it in the booth of the girls. Yep.
You know, that's better for pulling than what we've seen the last few.
Yeah. And I mean, and full disclosure, there's another no wheelie bars video that's currently going viral. And now that I've told you about it, some of you are looking for it. Some of you have already seen it. Just do us a favor. Don't share it.
Right.
And it doesn't matter who's putting it up. If I put one up, I fully expect one of you guys to kick my ass for it and maybe just start a line to do it. But it's shut up. I drove to you. You know, I drove to you to promote the sport. You can come to me to save it.
I got a full tank of
driving.
Fuel.
Speaking of driving, we're going to do the Light Pro Shootout again next year. We're going to attempt it if Mother Nature will quit being a bitch. We're going to try it again. So maybe a different venue, but it's all going to be still within 45 mile of where we're sitting right now.
Nice.
Sweet.
Charles, you're involved now. I think we covered that the other night.
Yep, we did discuss it.
Okay.
Apparently, Tony wants you to be involved like tomorrow.
He means Sunday. It ain't been after midnight yet, but I will take you up on that offer.
So
speaking of guys who say pulling is dumb all the time, Mr. Burkhardt.
Uh-huh. Mr. Burkhardt also thinks dinos are pretty stupid.
Yeah.
Prove it.
He went through a stretch there a few years ago where he was having fights with them every time he went to one.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it was wheel or engine.
You know, it's you can there's a lot going on in this sport right now. Love it or hate it. We've all got one thing in mind, it's to save the sport we love. And
yep.
Like we've all said, if you keep doing the sharing the shit and doing the shit we're doing, it's going to be gone one of these days. And, you know, like it or not, we need to take a little more after the NASCARs, NHRAs, the world and stuff like that. When it comes to safety and comes the way an event's run and the teching and that kind of stuff, it just, we can't let it go to the wayside.
Ladies and gentlemen, Wyatt Earp has joined us.
That's actually the second time this week someone said that.
Really?
Wyatt Earp or Sam Elliott's son, grandson, whatever he said. I said I'd take either one.
There you go. Well, you just missed the rant about making stupid people famous.
No, I heard that, but I was
starting okay, good.
Pizza because that was the first food I've had all day. So.
All right. Well, that's fine.
The thing is that was one run down a track that got all the exposure. And there was what? How many thousands of others that went down the track that weekend that went perfectly?
Mm-hmm.
But that's the one we get to see.
Yep.
Jesus Christ. Amy,
Amy with the troll.
That's something we talk about a lot is how do we get the exposure for everything and not just those runs? You know, show the whole event. You know, that's something that we've kind of harped on for a while. Show the event as a photographer, videographer, you know, to be able to see some of the stuff that's in the stands, what they're doing in the stands, and like as a captive whole event, not just what's on track at times. So, mm-hmm. Because, yeah, we see way too much of the bad and not always the good. So,
yeah, Ryan's one of the best at capturing the, I guess, what I would call family aspect of the sport. And the friendship aspect of sport when it comes in a camera, you know, that his pictures, the candid pictures he takes get some of the most views. And the guy can find a way to put that in real time. You know, I think that'd mean a lot to the sport.
Yeah.
You know, something that Adam and Jeff Shanks has done for us this year at different events is taking a page out of Jesse Post and getting us a winner's video right away and getting that up so that, you know, you at least get to see those runs right away that went right and give some exposure to those people. So
I agree. I agree.
Yep. So what's everybody doing now that we don't have? Well, I guess Cody, are you home yet or no? You're still. Are you coming on Saturday or are you out?
Yeah, I got everything wrapped up today, and I booked it all day long. I did not realize how much of an elevated highways were down here.
Maybe you should tell everybody kind of where you are and what you're doing.
So I'm in Louisiana chasing hurricanes. And do site assessments and damage assessments at for clients after the hurricane goes through. So I've been kind of all over Louisiana today, and I was kind of mad I didn't get to see any swamp puppies. That was kind of a goal. I missed the airboat. There's several airboats. Everybody's out in airboats, but yeah. So I've been all over Louisiana and seen all sorts of fun stuff. So it's been a long day. So, and yesterday, alarm went off at 1:20 in the morning to catch a flight. So, yeah.
Can I just make a point that he's in Louisiana after a hurricane and the power's on? Here in Michigan, if a butterfly sneezes, I lose power for 3 days. How the hell does that work?
I stayed at Lake Charles, so I'm far enough west. I was in Huma this afternoon, evening, where it like made landfall and stuff. So it's so hit or miss down here. It wasn't sustained like what some of the past ones, like the Florida, Georgia one, that was really bad. This wasn't near as bad. So, I mean, I was downtown New Orleans type of thing, and you'd be driving and there'd be like four blocks that it's blackout, you know, there's no power anywhere. And the next three have power and you're like, where the hell's this grid come from? You know, it's just, so it's weird, but I will say at least everybody down here seems to know what to do at a stoplight that doesn't have power. So far, I'm not kidding. I've gotten to where I've been ranking these from all the hurricanes I go after, and Valdosta, Georgia is absolutely hands down the worst. It'll be, you know, they're driving 55 through, and all these cars are stopping the other lanes next to them, and they just blow right through it, and you're just cringe when you pull through because you're going to get T-boned. Houston, a little bit better, but down here, they apparently teach driving school down here, but yeah, so that's where I've been at. So I did catch it. I haven't had food all day, and I ordered pizza and picked it up, and like Dave Portney would love that pizza. It was good. Garlic crust, stuffed crust, pepperoni, tomatoes. Yeah. Sorry. When you're living off of, you basically pack up for the day because you don't know if you'd be back here, if you're going to stay over there somewhere. So, and then you stop every so often along the way when you got someplace that's got power, because, you know, you go into some of those places, they don't have anything for hours. So I was lucky to have a Ford that's the hybrid Ford F-150. So it was like 590 some miles. It was convenient, but
this one's not a hybrid.
Yeah.
No, that one's the
good. No, that will not get 590 anything.
Except horsepower. Yeah.
It was nice not having to, like, you know, Valdosta, I mean, wait in line for an hour and a half, 2 hours, whatever it was, and they ran out of fuel by the time I made it to the pump. So you go across the street, who's got a generator, and you wait in line 40 cars. There's people walking a half a mile, and they go in and get Natty Lights. And I was like, you couldn't find something better than Natty Light in that store? And he has his swim trunks on and flip-flops, and I was like, good Lord. But yeah, then – you know, the whole, you're through a populous city that is blackout and there's down power lines and trees, and it can get sketchy pretty quick. But luckily this wasn't, I don't think, as bad as that one for sure.
But right of way determined by who has the biggest caliber in the glove box or what?
No. No. I only saw one sleeping bag underneath the bushes. Yeah. It wasn't near as bad, so so that's where I'm at currently. But so I was planning on coming back Saturday. I'm in the middle of changing flights until you asked a question, and I got distracted. So I'll be back tomorrow morning ish.
Good deal.
So you didn't meet Amos Moses then?
No. Nope, did not.
Well, so what else is going on in the world? Do we want to talk big money pulls or no? Or is there not enough to talk about that?
Do you want to talk about my other little rant about the mech?
About the who?
The mech.
Go for it. Yeah, go for it. Throw it right under the bus.
Yeah. If you don't want to hear the truth, don't ask a question. They posted a question: what's your favorite event at the MEC?
Midwest. Lots of you remember this post.
A couple weeks ago.
It got deleted.
It got deleted because they made a reply to one of our pollers that basically said, we hope What Smoke and Promotions is paying attention to this and that their algorithm picks this up, that they want this to happen.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I saw that.
When I posted the truth,
And I said something after it.
And Zach said something after it. Within 5 minutes of that, it was gone.
Crickets.
If you don't want to hear the truth and don't want to, then don't ask the question. What was the most popular thing that happened at the MEC this year? The Midwest Winter Nationals. Because out of 120 comments, 110 of them was Midwest Winter Nationals.
Yep. Yeah, it's just the Amish don't have Facebook and the rest of them couldn't comment.
Well, that's true.
Come on.
But this had nothing to do with what Smoking Productions as to why we're not going back to the MEC.
We wanted to be back.
Do with a new CFO and some new upper management people telling us we could not come back. I talked to Tucker last night. The ink is drying as we talk now. It is done with Cloverdale.
Yep. I talked to him before the show this afternoon for probably half hour or so, and everything's in place moving forward. Registration's open. Get in there by all means and get yourself
get in where up. You fit in.
Get in where you fit in. The usual classes that we have to prod along are slow again this year. Looking at you truck guys and late limited super stock pullers. I know you're still running this year, but you know, take your lunch hour tomorrow and jump in there and get yourself signed up. Look, when it comes to the fandom as well, pack that place and let's put on a good show for Cloverdale and show them what we're bringing, but also just put a little stank on it that this is what you guys gave up north.
Yeah. I mean, late limited guys, just take half of your lunch hour and get signed up, and you can still use the other half for lobbying for components. I did say it. I'm just kidding. Take a joke.
I will tell you from a community standpoint, from being involved at Shipshawana in that area for 2.5 years, the community itself did not want to see this event. Okay, let me back up and punt. A few of the community wanted to see this event go away, but the business owners of Shipshawana, the business owners of Middlebury, and even to Elkhart and Goshen did not want to see this event go away. So do not throw them people under the bus, guys. Not you guys, but public in general. They did not want to see this go away. They knew what it brought into that town. They knew what, you know, the hotels were full, the restaurants were full. They didn't want to see it go away. It's just the arrogant, I'm just going to say it, it's the arrogant attitude of the Amish community that did not want it there because we weren't part of them. And that is the way that operates up there. If you're not one of them, they don't want you there. And Shipshawana is such a neat little town with a neat atmosphere, and the business owners up there do a phenomenal job. But when you get that type of people, you're not one of them, they don't want you there. And that's why it happened. It was not anybody community related. It was the 5 or 6 people that run that mech. And a lot of it had to do with alcohol, but they can all go sit in their shop all night long and drink all night long, and their kids can get pulled over for a DUI and a buggy, and it's okay. We can't come in there and sell how many kegs of beer over a 4-day weekend. There's my rant for the night.
And as an event ourselves, you know, there's nothing we could have done better or different. The comment was made on Saturday night when we were late Saturday night when we were getting ready to leave, is that from the facility manager of the building itself, the operations guy, you guys are one of the few and maybe the only event that when you leave, you clean up after yourselves. You don't have to do anything. You guys take care of it. And we did what we could do.
Arlen.
Yeah.
I know. And he wanted it back, but you can only pull so many strings up there. It's a different world up there, guys. I mean, what we used to say when I worked up there, when you pass State Road 4, which is on the south side of Ghost, runs across the whole northern half of the state of Indiana, it's a different, you go into a different world. I mean, you really do. State Road 13, North State Road 4, and that side of 5, it's a different world. And
or nine. And you just.
Which sucks because it's a great facility. I mean, it really is. I mean, it just, and what really kind of, what the big deal, but, you know, after 5 o'clock, everything shuts down, you know, when the pool's over with, people want to make it something to eat. There's nothing in town to really go eat at or anything. So the Cloverdale will be nice because, you know, they got a few other things there to be able to eat at, you know, after and stuff like that. So I think Cloverdale worked great, you know, with NT Bay being there in the past, it, you know, seemed like it really worked great for everybody. I think parking's going to be a little tight, but I think that worked out. So,
yeah, there'll be stuff coming about that. There'll be a diagram map coming that everybody will be able to follow along with schedules of when you're in, when you're out. That'll get worked on. More on that, I'll table that further about that. We're probably going to have an off-schedule sidetrack on Monday night because there's a couple things that are coming up we need to address. And yep. I did tell Clint, if you're not in a combine somewhere and want to jump on with us and start discussing it, you know, that door's open. So we'll see. He might be part of the Monday show, but we got some other stuff that's coming on that program as well.
You should see the shirt that I put in the chat as I'm waiting to get off my plane. I see this shirt.
Oh, that's perfect. I see it now. That's funny.
And I was like,
really funny.
We're waiting to get off, and I was like, oh my God, I gotta get my phone out of my pocket as I'm like crammed upside down trying to pull my phone out of my pocket to do one of those. Because it was the
Burkhardt! Burkhardt! Stop!
Oh, don't put that on the screen, please.
No, we won't. Anyway, Tony Burkhardt will be here all week, folks. Try the veal and tip your server as well. But yes, that's a great hoodie.
Give up the ship.
I thought it fit.
Yep.
Anyway. So, what else do we have to talk about? Anything, or do we make this one a short one?
Can do whatever. I mean, we're going to, like I said, Monday, we're going to kind of weed
in. You got to put that comment up on the screen. You got to.
No.
Yes, you do. I just got it sent to me, and you got to put that comment up on the screen.
Thanks, Cando. Thank you for that. That was helpful.
Oh, my God. I think we'll table the concept of the big money thing until Monday, because that's kind of the central theme for that show.
Yeah, I would agree. So,
and that'll be just pay attention to the socials. I don't even know what time we're going to do it at yet. We'll just see.
This coming Monday?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll be in Texas.
Give me a cool bad boy hat while you're down there.
I'll try. Yep.
Well, I think the biggest thing left for us to do is to, one, thank our sponsors. Which are,
yes, main, please do.
Well, the main one we're sitting in his showroom right now is Brad Howe Ford. He's been our title sponsor for the last 2 years.
Don't do it again.
And has re-upped for another year. We have Paddock's Record Service and Heavy Hauling, Evolution Outdoor. ZZ Diesel has come on board helping with the Light Limited Pro Stock challenge that we do in July. Obviously Robert with Hometown Diesel. And then we have some of our Class Liquid Tube came on board this year, was another big, huge one that we had. Then we have some class sponsors, Wipeout Enterprises, Corsa Data Acquisition. Another new one this year, Showtime Performance and Restoration.
I've seen their restorations.
Very good work.
Very nice work.
They do some really nice work. My insurance lady who helped sponsor our farm stock class, McManus Insurance out of Lafayette, Indiana. Doug McKinley Repair, he's been one who's always helped us out with stuff over the years. Jay's Diesel Performance and DNN Souter Excavating, and then Overmeyer Dyno Service has always been a big supporter of us. So, you know, without these people, we can't really do what we do.
Oh, we had another one that we forgot, particularly when it came to Rochester, and I don't know if they do it for other events. You had a certain tractor brand out there helping with track prep.
New Holland.
Yep.
I had a couple local New Holland dealers. Well, the same people own all the dealers that help.
We got seven now.
A couple salesmen that I talked with that I'm friends with that were willing to bring equipment out. I mean, no questions asked. They basically just laid it on the line and said, you tell us what you need and we'll make it happen. And they did.
That same dealer group that helps me at Greentown, one of my best friends, the service manager at the New Holland dealer here in Greentown, that is that same dealer group, and they helped me at Greentown a tremendous amount too.
Robert, before we let you off, give the crew, give all those people who stood beside you, give them their due. Tell us who they were.
I remember.
Boy. I should.
First among equals, the guy named Wing It.
Man, I just roll by the slippery slopes one day at a time. That's how I get through things. So I couldn't name all the people individually, but I'll try. So Spud, my buddy Spud, like the potato. He's always been a big help to me. And then the Burton boys, Scott and Kevin. I mean, I grew up with them my whole life. And when I gave them the chance to attack a skid steer, they were on it like banshees.
They were awesome.
I think they rode skid steers before they rode bicycles. And Kevin Smith and Travis helped me out. Of course, Richard and Zach.
Spaz.
And Jordan Field. Tim Overmeyer came out for a little bit.
Joe Moore.
Joe was there. And Lily and Matthew on special occasions, especially picking up rocks. Man, we picked up a lot of rocks. My guys at the shop, which they were getting paid for part of it, so I mean they don't they get any over credit. there's just, man, like I said, I'm
your wife.
My wife, yeah, she's a lot of help. She's spectacular. She's probably watching.
Yeah, you're, hey, you're gonna spend the night on the couch for the way you treated that one. Good boy. Good job, buddy.
She we was watching. I just saw the number of live viewers go down by one.
Yep.
Yep. Man, she's normally in bed by like 8:30. So, but yeah, my wife was a big help, obviously, and then. Oh, my mom.
There you go. Yeah. Look, it's like your teleprompter right there.
No. my mom works in the office at the shop, and she does way more than I could ever give her credit for. So my brother was a lot of help. Like I said, there's just so many people that you didn't even notice were there. My cousin, you know, showing up to help, Charles, and so it was good, and I got my list for next year because I haven't had a single person turn me down. I called everybody individually within the day or two after just to thank them for helping, and I mean, at the end of the conversation, I always made sure they were in for next year because I think above all things, we got to try that twice. So
I agree. One suggestion I'll make. The tagline or the phrase that we kept on throwing around the war room after a few cocktails was "Make Rochester Great Again."
Yeah,
where are those damn hats, man?
They weren't in the budget.
Right. Fair enough.
Spent it all on the track.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Pretty much.
True.
The track turned out to be one heck of a track for. I mean. That's definitely by far the best track that's ever been at that fairgrounds. And I told him when we got done that night, when he came over and thanked me and we were carrying mine off with a skid loader, he said, well, I don't know what I can do for you, but, you know, if you need anything, let me know. And I said, Robert, anytime we can put a class of light pros and limited pros down the track
every one of them pick the front end up and just roll, we knew we did something right.
Yep. Mm-hmm. That track really was impressive because it held together and it came back together, and yeah.
Very easy to maintain.
Mm-hmm. So whatever you did about getting those loads of clay mixed in, yeah, that worked.
And when you can have 2.6 and 3.0 trucks go down the track equally as how tractors go down the track, that says something.
That was the
also.
Biggest thing. You normally build a track that's good for tractors, ain't worth shit for trucks, and vice versa. But it worked for everybody that night.
The trucks, yeah. it took the power of the trucks, and they didn't bounce.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I get that track was good, but Chase does a phenomenal job not letting a truck bounce. You know, that sled, he's got it figured out to not let a truck bounce, you know, and you got to give credit to Chase for some of that.
That's a comment from Burkhart that we can flash on the screen.
I'll have everything but the fire suit because I don't have my new one yet, but I'll bring everything else.
Come on, put the other one up.
No, it'll help with engagement because the people who see this and watch it, and
it's not like it didn't have wheelie bars or anything. You can put it up.
Shut up, Hal. Guys, this was a fun one. I got to bail. I do have a phone call I got to make. But guys, thank you so much for coming on. Thank you for those of you who pushed Robert and helped pour thimblefuls of gas on that fire. And that goes to any of you who are watching tonight who had anything to do with it. And I know some of his crew is watching. You guys got a good thing going here. Let's keep it going.
Yep.
That was fun. That was a legit fun show. And Lord knows, I mean, the weather was just perfect for it, but still, that was a lot of fun. And I'm looking forward to doing that again if we can.
Good. We're going to do our best.
Awesome. Awesome. And Moose, no, Badger State is not going to happen for me this year. Maybe next year. We'll see. But anyway. Should we stick a fork in this one, boys?
Can do.
All righty. Well, thank you, folks, for watching. It's an hour and a half of your life that you won't get back. So we appreciate you spending it, you know, BSing with all of us.
As we say after every show.
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, and we mean it. You know, you're not going to get that time back. So we hope that it was at least entertaining or educational or something. But... anyway,
even if we'll you begin with even better still, you pay attention next time.
There you go.
Charles, I'll call you in the next couple weeks about next year.
All right, fair enough.
All right. See you guys.
Thank you. See you. Thank you.
That was wonderful.
Bravo.
I loved that.
Oh, it was great.
Well, it was pretty good.
Well, it wasn't bad.
Well, there were parts of it that weren't very good,
though. It could have been a lot better.
I didn't really like it.
It was pretty terrible.
It was bad.
It was awful.
I was terrible.
Get him away.
Hey, boo.
Boo.